And now, welcome to Chai with Manju, with your host, Dr. Manju Shen.
So honored and absolutely delighted today to welcome Pandit Nayan Ghosh and his son, Ishan Ghosh, to Chai with Manju. Thank you.
Namaskar.
Thank you so much.
Likewise, we are very, very delighted to meet you, Manjuji.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So I have to, of course, start with the extraordinary legacy, the lineage that you guys have. And of course, Ishan, you are the torchbearer of this fabulous family. You know, you have grown up around music, and I enjoyed reading when Nayanji said that the atmosphere was charged with music. So, of course, you took to it like fish to water. And I loved, Ishan, what you said, like music was like breathing in your home. So my question, and I'm going to ask both of you this, because classical music is such a tough taskmaster. You need hundreds of hours of riyaz and discipline. For Nayanji, of course, your dad was your guru as well as father, as I said. What was it like learning from him? Because he was such a big name in the world of music.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I will say at the outset is I really feel blessed to be born in such a family of very, very distinguished musicians. My father, Pandit Nikhil Ghosh himself, was a great tabla maestro, and he was not just a tabla player, he was a complete musician. And he had in-depth knowledge and skill on vocal music and knowledge about sitar, sarangi, sarod, and so on, and various genres of music like Drupad, Dhamar, Khayal, Tumri, Chaiti, folk, everything. He had a huge repertoire of melodic music and equally huge repertoire of traditional tabla. Okay. My uncle was Pannalal Ghosh, the father of North Indian flute, the inventor of the flute. And in our family, actually, music goes back a few generations even before them. My grandfather was a sitarist, and great-grandfather, Drupad singer and Pakhavaj player and so on. So, you know, for a child to be born in such a family, there is no really a formal point of starting the talim or the training. It just happens most naturally right from infancy. And, you know, as you said, fish taking to water. That's the right picture for the whole thing. That, you know, one shouldn't be surprised if a child shows remarkable talent or gift for melody or for rhythm at a very early age, as early as 1 or 1.5. It's but natural.
Absolutely.
So it was sometime around maybe 1.5 or 2, or maybe around that age, that my training must have started. It wasn't formal, like, you know, okay, you sit with a pair of tabla and I sit with a pair of tabla, the guru and shishya. No, not that way. It just happened very organic. And so that natural upbringing in music, added to that was the very atmosphere in my home, which was always supercharged with good music. And my father's friends and contemporaries, you know, his friends who would visit us, like Ustad Vilayat Khan Sahab, Ravi Shankar Ji, Ali Akbar Khan Sahab, Amir Khan Sahab, and my father's great gurus, Gyan Prakash Ghosh Ji, Amir Hussain Khan Sahab, Ustad Ahmed Jan Tarakwa. I mean, for us, this was kind of very routine.
Right.
And to see and listen to these great masters and hear them not only talk and relate great anecdotes or incidents from their lives, but fantastic compositions or singing or performing, even riyaz. I have seen a whole night riyaz in my home by Nikhil Banerjee, you know.
Wow. Wow.
So these are very, very precious things that have added.
Yes.
And right since very early childhood, I got to listen to Ustad Bade Ghulam Ali Khan Sahab. I even sat on his lap and,
wow.
And he asked me, "Beta, gaate ho?" I said, "Yes." And I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And I had no idea what a great figure he was, what a historical figure he was. So when he asked me, "Do you sing?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Okay, sing something for me." And I sang some Asthai Antara of some Khayal. Then he said, "Tabla bhi bajate ho?" I said, "Yes." And and I recited some tabla composition, and I received a lot of blessings from him.
Wow. And one of the most interesting stories I was reading, Ishan, was that at night when your dad put you to sleep, he told you all these interesting anecdotes, and you actually looked forward to going to bed at night because
those
of
were,
all the stories, right?
Oh yeah, and those were actually you can say they were my favorite bedtime stories, you know.
Yes.
But my father would relate these anecdotes of, you know, that of all these instances that he saw growing up, or, you know, anecdotes even older of the previous masters and all these things. So it was like a beautiful fantasy land for me as a kid, and I love know, thinking about that and being engrossed with it. So yeah, I think that was my favorite thing to do.
Actually, initially, bedtime stories, I started with fairy tales, but I saw that didn't really interest him. And then once he just told me, "Baba, that's enough of that," he said. "Can you tell me something about Tirakwa Khan Sahab?" Or he would say, "About Bade Ghulam Ali Khan Sahab. Can you tell me something? How, the way you saw him, the way you heard him?" And, you know, he would sleep on my chest.
Aww.
And after about half an hour, slowly he would doze off to sleep. Okay. So, but those stories,
I think, that question about the difference between between our
the
training
styles.
So I think that's the difference, because if we talk just about the training, I don't think it's I feel it's similar in more ways than one, because again, my process was also mostly through osmosis and very organic. It wasn't that that music was made to look like a chore, that, you know, I have to wake up and, you know, make a big deal out of it and sit down to practice and stuff like that. No, that was never the case, because, you know, I think the atmosphere at home was, like you rightly said, it was so charged that that music felt like the thing to do. And I was always very passionate about it.
Now, talking of concerts and performances, both of you started so early. Panditji, you got an award at the age of 4 at All India Radio. And by the time you were 18, you were accompanying your father on a tour of, I don't know, about 40 countries in around the world. And of course, Ishan,
Were great experiences of learning, actually.
Absolutely.
On the one hand, one can see it as an achievement or whatever, that you at the tender age of 18, you're traveling and performing at important venues, prestigious concerts, and, you know, that's one. But more for me, it was a learning experience, because every concert I really felt was a different experience, was a new experience. And soon after the concert, when we would go back to the hotel or wherever we stayed, my father would analyze the whole performance.
Wow.
And he would say, "Okay, this is, you did, this was fine, this was fine, but here you could have done this."
Wow.
So the training was kind of a continuous process.
Yeah.
And then flying with him on flights, you know, my younger brother, Dhruba Ghosh, the great Sarangi maestro. He's no more now, but we both traveled with him. And on flights, we would sit on his two sides. So our training would go on even on flights, or let's say at some airport labor time, you know. So it was not just serious talim. It was accompanied by interesting jokes. My father was very humorous. He had a huge repertoire of jokes and incidents, interesting incidents or humorous incidents from his life. So all that brought so much of aesthetics to our training, you know, not just the musical part or the rigorous elements, but also the fun element.
Right. And a lifetime of memories.
To pick out any one particular concert is very difficult right now at this moment. But yes, some concerts in my life were kind of important milestones for me.
Okay.
One, let's say what comes to my mind right now is one of Ustad Vilayat Khan's last concerts that I was accompanying him. Okay. So he was my father's contemporary and they played hundreds of concerts together. But he was a person I looked up to since my childhood as a hero, as a role model, you know, for sitar. And for me to get this opportunity to accompany him, not once, but quite a few times.
Wow.
And one of his last concerts when I played with him, there were certain moments in that concert. It was at the Tata Theater in Mumbai. Completely full house, sold out concert. And he was playing in great mood. And at some point of time, there were such subtle musical ornamentations or expressions that he was executing from the sitar, that my teka on the tabla went down to whisper level, almost inaudible, almost. And that made him very happy. He just looked at me and gave me a broad smile and softly said, which the audience could hear, was, "Jeete raho beta," he said, "sitar bajate ho na."
Oh my God.
That means a lot. Sitar bajate.
Yes, absolutely.
He meant to say that you know what a sitarist wants at that moment. So that was one. Another moment in that same concert was when he was playing a beautiful traditional old dadra. And when it was my turn to play the laggis on the tabla. And then I set off on my laggi journey. And he was thoroughly enjoying it, you know, and went on blessing me every turn I took of the laggi. He was appreciating, giving me dad, you know, saying, "Jeete raho beta," and so on. And at the end of the concert, when he was acknowledging the standing ovation, I stood a little behind as he was doing his adab and, you know, receiving the applause. And my brother Shujaat Khan, Ustad Vilayat Khan Saab's son, is like my younger brother. So he was on the Tanpura. He also stepped back a little. I stepped back a little and let Khan Saab, you know, receive the appreciation. And he just took the mic and he told the audience two things. One was, he said, "If this is the kind of appreciation I get," he said, "I hope Allah will give me another 10 years of life.
Oh my goodness.
And I would like to play more for you." That was a very emotional moment. And as he said that, he just turned around and happened to look at me. He picked up the mic again and he said, "Today what you heard from," he called me Nayan Babu. So he said, "Aaj jo Nayan Babu se aapne jo laggiyan suni, hum bachpan mein meelo chahte the.
Kya baat hai.
Buzurgon ko aisa laggi sunne ke liye hum bahut dur dur tak jaate the. Ye khandani laggiyan hain aur Nayan Babu khud sitariya bhi hai aur acha tabliya bhi hai." He's saying, "Aaj jo bajaya ye sabak hai," he said, "ye taaleem." He said,
"Kya baat."
So I feel this was something much more than any award.
It's a divine moment.
Coming from such a important, a revolutionary musician like Ustad Vilayat Khan Saab.
Yeah. What a, you know, these are the divine moments in life. I really feel like that. And Ishan, any memory you want to share?
Well, it's hard to
it's
say
hard
anything
after this.
Yeah,
after that,
this because you know, it's so charged.
Oh. One more I would like to share. Ustad Ahmedjan Pirekwa Khan Sahab, who known as the Mount Everest of Tabla, he lived the last almost a decade of his life in our home. I saw him and heard him 24/7.
Yes, I was reading that.
For about 8 years or so. And I also got many opportunities to learn from him, get his talim also. And he was my father's guru. But at one point of time, he suggested to me that I should do my riyaz in a very continued manner and a sustained manner. So for that, he said a beautiful sentence, beta, riyaz karte rehna, ungliyon mein aankhein paida hogi.
Kya baat hai? Ungliyon mein aankhein paida hogi.
Aankhein paida hogi. What a great statement.
What a great statement.
Your fingers will start getting eyes, he said.
Kya baat hai? Kya baat hai? Ishan, can you beat that?
Well, definitely not.
You won't even try.
That's exactly what I was talking about some time back. You know, that's the difference of being surrounded by such such figures. What do I say? It's I think it's almost impossible to pick any one memory, because I think within a short span of time, I've been blessed to, I think blessed is the word, I've been blessed to be able to be on the same stage as legendary musicians of our times, like Pandit Jasraj ji, Ustad Amjad Ali Khan Sahab, of course, since childhood with my father, and many, many other such musicians, much, much, much senior to me, maybe generations senior to me. So, I think it's something that any young musician dreams about. At least in my generation, I feel very, I feel special.
Pradeep ji was telling me that you're writing or you're planning to write a book about Encyclopedia of Classical Music. I think you absolutely need to write a book about your family. I think it would be, you know, it would belong to all of us, because that is the history of classical music in some ways. Mm-hmm. So I hope that you one day take the time from your busy schedule and write that book.
We definitely want to. It's been on the wish list.
Something more comes to my mind, if we have the time.
Of course.
When I was telling you about the way I got my talim from my father in different situations, as I told you, on the flights or you know, after concerts and so on. Another beautiful experience, he always related his talim when he would give us the talim to nature. He would take us to hill stations and during school vacation times. And we would choose a spot where there's no one around, not a soul around. And let's say we were facing the west side of from the mountain. And maybe there is another mountain in front. And maybe the sun has just set. And the sky is glowing pink, and the birds returning home back to their nests. And he would just tell me, my brother, my sister, my mother, to sing one note, like give a tanpura support kind of thing. So we would just hum a sa, and he would sing, let's say, Shri Rag or Rag Marwa. And he would sing that. And beautiful, expansive moments. And with us watching that landscape and relating that landscape to the rag, that helped us so much. Today, whenever I play Shri or Marwa, those thoughts come right in front of me. That entire landscape comes in front of me. It helps me tremendously in my performances. Then he would take us sometimes out on that same hill station in the dead of the night, you know,
really?
Starlit sky. And he would tell us, you sing, with an open throat voice. He said, sing to the stars, wow. sing to the mountain in front, he said. And maybe Shankara, maybe Rag Arana, you know, he would say, sing aloud. And what an experience. Our whatever I sang would come back as an echo after some time from maybe it hit the mountain in front wow. and then came back. Wow. So there was a delayed echo. And those were experiences, you know, starlit night, Shankara.
Oh my God. Wow.
And I mean, what more can I say? these were beautiful experiences that that added to my artistic insight,
right.
to the whole experience of aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And another example was whenever he taught us a rag like Bhairav, he would say, mm-hmm. imagine the high peaks of the Himalayas and the first sun rays falling on the tip wow. of the peak and that golden color.
That's
imagine
visual,
that.
Visual.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he said, imagine it's the Lord Shiva who is sitting behind those mountains, a whole night of meditation, and he's slowly opening his eyes after his meditation.
Wow.
So imagine that scene and seeing Bhairav. That's how he would. Yeah. So these are
classic
examples to support and to supplement.
Add a visual.
Absolutely. And as I'm listening to you, I was just thinking it's, you know, the book, of course, is going to be undoubtedly absolutely fantastic. But now with the what we have as audiobooks, imagine mm-hmm. if telling that story in your words and putting, you know, everybody calls you the all-round musician, right? I think you're the only one who has that title in the classical music world. Imagine if you sang a little bit and that audio book would be just unbelievable. So we're going to hold you to
that's a brilliant idea, actually.
right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's a brilliant idea.
That audio book, I think I would listen to it and won't even know when I fly from United States to India. The fly, you know, it's just, absolutely. You should really do an audiobook as well because you have such a good voice as well.
I have to
say, Shan, that you know, I have been following you on Instagram. You are the new generation of superstars of classical music.
Oh, not at all.
And I was telling you. And I'm just so impressed with this young generation, you know. And my daughter, who's 25 years old, you know, wasn't mm-hmm. very excited when her dad would play a sitar. Uh-huh. And now she's like, Mom, classical music is becoming so cool now.
Oh, it most definitely is. That's the right way to put it.
When I was showing her, some of your posts on Instagram, and I was looking uh-huh. at the incredible following that you have, even when you're posting, I think Solapur or somewhere, you're going in your car and you're posting, and there are like thousands of people who have their eyes on you. So, you know, what do you think about the contributions of social media to the world of classical music? Ishan, tell us what you think.
Yeah,
sure. Well, social media is, first of all, it's a blessing that we have yes. today. And I'd like to talk about it in the most positive yes. aspect and to highlight those things because it's a boon, most
yes,
definitely.
True.
And it has, if not anything, I think the most basic feature that it provides is that, you know, it provides an equal platform. I'm talking about this from an artist's
right,
perspective.
Right,
so
right.
So talking about musicians and people related to the arts. So I think it provides an equal platform to artists, regardless of their background, regardless of where they come from, regardless of who they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So everyone is there on an equal ground and has the has the advantage of using this as a medium to put their work out okay. there, to put their music okay. out there or whatever okay. else they do. Mm-hmm. And the whole world is there, you know, at their fingertips.
Yeah. And talking of contributions, we have to talk about your wonderful institute that you have in Mumbai, the Sangeet Mahabharati Institute, where not only there is a lot of teaching, but you also have some of the best bataks I have heard. So, Nanji, tell us a little bit about that as well.
Sure. Yeah, the Sangeet Mahabharati was my father's. Second baby after me, 4 months younger to me. And it was, while he was so busy as a performer, as a performing artist, he felt the strong need of proper scientific methods to be applied to music education and authentic material content to be shared with as many youngsters, students, seekers. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, he started Sangeet Mahabharati, and then, you know, as time went by, a proper syllabus was established, and then he tackled priority areas like teachers' training. Mm-hmm. He felt even if there were traditional musicians or Khandani Ustads who were ready to join him as faculty, mm-hmm. he made it a point that they go through the whole course of teacher's training, mm-hmm. Not only for the sake of high quality, but for standardization and also a kind of a uniformity, the method of teaching. So the content and the what and the how of the music teaching method is what he researched upon. Then he felt the need of a proper notation system, a further improvement from what already existed for Indian music, besides, you know, the Bhatkhandeji's, Paluskarji's notation systems and other Asim Tagore's notation mm-hmm. systems. He felt as that times have changed and we need notations that are more, symbol oriented. Okay. So that a symbol can almost tell you the design of that phrase or that note. Mm-hmm. So he used a lot of such signs and symbols.
I have to ask you a fun question, and it might seem very frivolous, but I have to ask you. You know, when I watch you on video, you look so nicely dressed and coordinated. I was watching one of your concerts, you probably do it subconsciously. I don't know, because the two of you really seem to complete each other. I've seen one concert in, I think it was in Edmonton, and you had beautiful black kurtas, both of you. Today, right. You're wearing orange, yeah. You're wearing brown with that orange kind of stripe there. Yeah. Now, do you plan what you're going to wear? Or you have a stylist? Or you just do your... you are so close to each other.
We have... I'll tell you a nice fun fact. We do have a stylist, but we have an in-house stylist. Again, that goes to my sister.
Okay.
Because she has an impeccable taste of fashion and photography and various different things. So, about kurtas, I think it's like it's more like he selects the kurta that he wants to wear, and the second step is for me to find something similar or at least something that won't clash with it.
So there is a thought process behind it. But I have to tell you, I have never seen this in my life. You both really complete each other, and without realizing, you know, you can read each other's mind maybe from playing together. The look, it's just so fortunate to be in that position, right?
Absolutely.
So I have to tell you now, next week is our LearnQuest concert, and it's the 15th year, and they have provided again an extraordinary service to our community as well, preserving not just the music but the heritage. So this time, I think, thanks to Ishan, we have a lot of young listeners as well. So we are excited. Do you have any message for?
one word about LearnQuest. I have observed very carefully. This is a wonderful organization, wonderful. I was very fortunate that I performed in the very first music festival of LearnQuest. I think probably it was 2006 or something like that. And even earlier, when LearnQuest was being conceptualized, and there was a Baithak concert in Boston, and I was probably the first musician that evening to perform, and a team of people who were, conceiving the idea of LearnQuest. So that was there has been some long association I have had with LearnQuest, and I'm looking forward to this festival this year, and because especially the music scene has become very exciting now, because once that unfortunate phase of COVID has gone by, I think all people, music lovers, musicians, are looking forward to something, something fantastic. Fresh, something new.
And I like the fact that the traditionalists like you and all the great stalwarts of music, these young people are keeping those traditions but bringing their own fresh outlook and using social media and all these, all the resources at their end. So we can say that, classical music is going to be well preserved for generations to come. So may I request on behalf of all our Bostonians, any chance that any of you, well, either one of you could sing for us or say a few lines. That would make the day of a lot of your fans.
Sure, thank you. Neera bharne kaise jaavun, neera bharne kaise jaavun, neera bharne kaise kaise jaun, neer bharan kaise jaun, sakhir main to neer bharan kaise jaun, kaise jaun, kaise jaun, neer bharan kaise jaun.
Thank you. What an honor, what a privilege. You really made such wonderful memories for me, and I'm so, so grateful. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here.